Now it is incidentally significant and interesting that each of these yanas, the Hinayana, the Mahayana, the Vajrayana, was dominant in India for a period of about 500 years. A period in the course of which one might have expected in ancient times considerable cultural and other changes could take place. Now, the Hinayana, the first of these stages of development, or the first of these reformations, as we may now say, the Hinayana is Buddhism stated in terms which are predominantly ethical and psychological. There's a great stress on conduct, on discipline, on psychological analysis, especially in the form of the Abhidhamma. So these are the sort of terms that the Hinayana presentation of Buddhism works through. In modern times, of course, the Theravada is the most prominent representative of this type of approach. It's one of the 18 schools of the Hinayana. Now the Mahayana, this stage of development, or this reformation, describes or expresses the essence of Buddhism in terms which are predominantly devotional and metaphysical. Some might think it rather surprising that the Mahayana should be both of these things, devotional, attaching great importance to the devotional life, to the worship of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and also to the metaphysical, the philosophical approach, discoursing at length on the nature of the void, the nature of reality, of mind, and so on. Now the Vajrayana, the third stage, or third phase of development, third reformation, the Vajrayana speaks in terms which are predominantly yogic and ritual, or ritualistic. The Vajrayana is very much concerned with all that pertains to meditation, especially meditation of a more esoteric type, and especially meditation as coordinated, at least on the lower levels, with various kinds of symbolic ritual. The Vajrayana speaks this sort of language. Now each yana, Hinayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana, each of these three stages of development, we may say, represents a reformation or restatement in relation to the one preceding. So these are the three stages of development, or the three reformations, we may say, of Indian Buddhism. But what about the fourth major reformation? We spoke about four, not only three. Now the fourth major reformation, we may say, is that which is generally known as Chan or Zen. This isn't, of course, an Indian development at all. But when Buddhism went to China, went from India to China, then there gradually came about, there gradually developed an attempt to restate Buddhism in terms of Chinese life, Chinese thought, and Chinese culture. And this, at least from one point of view, is what we call Chan or Zen. It's not just one school or one sect standing over against other schools and other sects. We may say that Chan, though perhaps Japanese Zen doesn't altogether correspond to this description, but certainly Chan represents not so much a school or sect, or not at all a school or sect, but a reworking completely of the whole substance, the whole essence, the whole message of Buddhism itself. It's as though those great Indian teachers who went to China went with completely open minds. Their minds were enlightened, so naturally they were open. So it's as though they put aside their own Indian psychology and they tried to get across directly to the hearts and to the minds of the Chinese people. Spoke to them in terms of Taoism, if necessary. Spoke to them in terms of Confucianism, but especially of Taoism. Especially in terms of Taoist conceptions like non-action, or acting through non-action. something a little foreign, we may say, to the Indian mind. So the result of this, the result of this attempt, this effort to put across the truth of Buddhism, the living truth of Buddhism, in terms which could be assimilated by the Chinese mind, that is to say Chinese terms, terms derived from Chinese life, Chinese thought, Chinese culture, the result of all this was this fourth great development, this fourth major reformation, that is to say Chan or Zen Buddhism.